Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
In terms of training camp, I thought Coach did a great job setting up training camp in terms of increasing the competition, the physicality. Felt like you could start seeing our identity take shape, even though we know that will really solidify itself as we get into the regular season. The staff did a wonderful job developing some players, putting them really ahead of the developmental curve and in place to compete for starting positions, backup roles, and making the 53.
That was Ryan Poles. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score on this Football Monday, a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Gray Clips. And we've talked all about the injuries that really were the biggest story in this game, whether it was the injury to Aaron Rodgers that caused him not to play, or finding out randomly that Tremaine Edmonds was placed on injured reserve over the weekend, which was a surprise to a lot of people. There were the injuries to the entire linebacking core. Then there were more injuries to the linebacking core during the game. Then, oh, by the way, left tackle Theo Benedet is out, and Ozzie Trapillo, who we had seen primarily on the right side and used as an extra blocker, was now being asked to play left tackle. So when you consider it all, it was pivotal that so many people had to step up for the Bears in this game, which begs the question, who deserves more credit for the Bears' depth and the win that ensued? Is it the coaching staff for Sunday, or is it Ryan Poles? What say you, Mars Hall Harris?
Well, look, I got to give credit where credit is due. And when you look at what the Bears were able to do from a depth standpoint, where even though guys were going down, the next guy literally was the next man up and stepped in and did a good enough job for them to get a win. And so that is me tipping my hat to the general manager, Ryan Poles, which I didn't think I was going to be doing at this point in the season. But listen, when you get that far down the depth chart, it's one thing. But it's another thing to look at, and again, I don't know what the balance is when we talk about who's responsible for this past draft. But when you see Kyle Manungai, 7th-round pick from this year, score a touchdown, when you see 6th-round pick Luke Newman step in and play 22 snaps, including filling in for Jackson when he goes down with injury.
Hello, Newman.
When you see Ruben Hippolyte getting the start, no, he didn't last long, but he was out there, right? When you see Ozzie Trapillo play every single snap at left tackle and nary hear his name, Luther Burden making catches, Colston Loveland scoring touchdowns, those are all picks from this year's draft. You can't ignore that they're having an impact, and the conversation around them is way different now than, say, before the bye week.
Mike was not on. And you add in, like, guys that they've picked, like Theo Benedet. Like, I understand he wasn't playing, but that's a solid pickup. The backups, DeMarco Jackson and Ogbog and Bamiga as well. Like, the depth, you can't not look at this roster right now and give a little bit of credit to Ryan Poles as much as we all were on him previously. There's no doubt about that. He drafts the players, he brings the players in, and you actually have a coaching staff which seems to be able to develop that talent as well. That's a big deal.
Well, and I think there's a couple different pieces that go in it. Number one is that I think that Matt Eberflus definitely had a hand in who he wanted, and that conversation happened with Ryan Poles.
What's that?
In previous years. So even though they didn't get the three technique that Eberflus wanted, there were other ways that you saw this come together. And I feel the same way when it comes to Ryan Poles answering requests from guys like Dennis Allen and Ben Johnson. I say that because how many times have we heard Dennis Allen specifically talk about traits in players that he really likes or the history that he has with somebody like a Nashawn Wright, like a CeeDee Gardner-Johnson? You know, it feels like Dennis Allen has had a big input and influence when it comes to the front office saying that. Now, that might sound like I'm giving a lot of credit to the coaching staff more so than the front office. But here's the thing. Front office could come back and say, nope, that's not the type of player we like to sign. And there could be more pushback there. So in agreement, to even be in agreement on it is a really good thing because I think a lot of people in those situations might push back. But when you see how people are being utilized, especially as we've joked, quote, off the street, end quote, you know, there has been such success. Dennis Allen knows how to use Nashawn Wright in his defense. And credit to the front office for saying, we'll get you that guy. Dennis Allen knew how to use CeeDee Gardner-Johnson. And so I feel like the front office is able to also help fill in the gaps, like with Abong-Vamiga, who we mentioned, or with Jackson, who we mentioned, those two combining for 29 tackles. They're working in concert, and the respect is there. And I think the biggest difference, too, is we don't talk about how much a good coaching staff can really affect your win-loss. It sounds so silly, and you think it's such a basic concept. But last year's coaching staff with those same players, they don't pull off what happened yesterday with that win. Ozzie Trapillo, one pressure, no sacks, no quarterback hits, and an 88.4 pass protection effectiveness grade. Go play Sunday. I know it's going to be tough. I know you're facing one of the best opponents in the league and one of the toughest places to play. But you at least did your first game good. My goodness, what a shot in the arm that would be for this Bears team if it works out well.
When we're talking about the draft, that's one thing, right? But I think there's clear evidence that Dennis Allen has had all of his influence on these guys that they brought in. Because if you look at it, whether it's DeMarco Jackson, who was the guy with the green dot yesterday, or whether it is CeeDee Gardner-Johnson, these are guys who played with Dennis Allen before. He knows them in and out. And I think the most important lesson, I guess, to take away from this is, in my opinion, Ryan Poles is evolving and learning and understanding where he did come up short before he got his contract extension. And he is now deferring to the experts, the coaches who know what they can and cannot do with certain players. And it's remarkable that they're not only doing what they're doing right now defensively with all these backups and everything, but they're not, like, as of right now, none of their 2025 draft picks that play on defense can play a football game right now. None of them. Not Zay Frazier, not Shamar Turner, and of course, Ruben Hippolyte had to leave the game yesterday, so not him either. So I think that says a lot about where they are as a team.
I have an instant question for both of you.
Oh, here we go.
Instant
we
question go. Now.
Drum
doing
roll. This.
I do. I know it's one game by Trapillo at left tackle.
Oh, I know where we're going here.
Where he comported himself well. Will there be a competition for the left tackle spot for the Chicago Bears heading into next year? Will Trapillo, let's just say this, will he be a starter in some way, shape, or form on the Chicago Bears next year? A second rounder versus an undrafted guy in Theo Benedet. Are we doing this all over again next year in training camp?
Unless your name is Drew Dahlman or Joe Tooney, then there better be.
Competition?
Yes.
You're set with Darnell Wright, correct?
Yeah, I'm set with Darnell Wright. I know. I don't feel like he had his best game yesterday, and I feel like there have been so many games this season where he's been great, and then there's been a couple where they've been a real clunker. So that happens when you're facing guys like Max Crosby and J.J. Watt.
Yeah, that's why I don't view him as clunkers, though.
I'm sorry. J.J. is just a part of my life, man. Well, I feel like I grew up watching that dude.
He did the game yesterday, too. So
that, yes, and he got to see his brother pass the family record. And did you hear him shout out his uncle? Oh, you probably didn't.
I heard about it. It made its way to the press box. Yes.
115 sacks is not anything to snuff out. So, yeah, he's doing a good job. I think there probably will be an open competition.
That's interesting, isn't it?
There should be.
Yes.
And frankly, if nothing else, for the fact that I didn't hear a false start penalty
yesterday.
No falsies.
Iron sharpens iron.
I like Theo Benedet. I think it's great that he is getting his due. And I feel like it's a great thing that the Bears don't have an ego about this to the point where they're going to say, this isn't our draft pick. He's undrafted free agent. But at least he has earned the right to put himself in the position to try to earn the spot. But this is the most, one of the most important positions on the damn team.
Yeah.
It had better, if there's any question you have, this had better be a competition.
And we're not even talking about Braxton Jones, who probably won't even be around.
Karanamagaji, anyone?
Karanamagaji.
So that's what, that's
I
my
mean,
point.
I mean, but he's hurt too. You know, those are, they're both on IR, yeah, aren't they?
But he'll be here next year. There's no doubt about it. So he'll be part of something.
Here's what I know. What I know is you can't have enough cornerbacks and you can't have enough offensive linemen because they're going to get hurt. That's what I've learned watching football my whole life. And
yeah.
I think with the way passing offenses work, you're always going to need another defensive back. Guess who's got a surplus as soon as those guys come out?
Yeah.
And now, because Ozzie Tripillo, as you said, comported himself the way that he did, Theo Benedet, whichever one of those guys you want, and I think it's going to be Theo Benedet, becomes this auxiliary piece that you can now use, plug and play. And that is a great thing for a team trying to build the depth that you need to get, first of all, through an NFL season, but also have a little some if you need to make a trade to get a big-time playmaker down the road.
I have an instant question for you.
Okay,
yes,
on
go
Raheem
ahead.
Harrison yes. Brody on 670 The Score. Our segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Should Ozzie Tripillo have gotten the opportunity earlier? Do you think that rookiness, do you think that because he was young and this is his first year in the league, do you think that that had something to do with him not getting this opportunity sooner?
I trust Dan Roschar like I trust Ben Johnson at this point because they needed some time. They got the time. They put it together and they look like a competent, I would say above average offensive line, not just in the middle where they paid everybody, but also on the left and the right tackle spots. And I think if they saw that Tripillo wasn't ready, why rush it?
It was shocking and disappointing how quickly Tripillo was taken out of the left tackle competition during training camp. It's very upsetting. When they put Benedet in, I mean, look, I'm on record. I said it. I thought it was a pawn. I thought it was just, we're bringing this undrafted guy in to motivate everybody because we ain't getting anything out of Braxton Jones. We're getting nothing out of Tripillo right now. So I thought that was, okay, this puts this guy in no man's land because you have your right tackle, hopefully for the next 5 to 7 years or so. That's where Tripillo plays best. They made it sound like he couldn't play left tackle. So my answer is, Layla, it's again a case of trust the coaching staff. The development was perfect leading up. They didn't rush it. They told us, I don't know if I believed it along the way, but they told us, oh yeah, he's working hard. We're hoping to get him in soon. And I was like, oh, we'll see, because it felt like a disaster in training camp. And now all of a sudden, here we are talking about, is Tripillo the future of this offensive line?
This segment is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. The best part about this is Ryan Poles told us from day one, oh yeah, he could play left tackle. He could play left tackle. And they're like, we don't think he could play left tackle.
Right.
That's it. I feel like there's still that part of this front office where they're like, we can mold this guy. Tape doesn't matter. It's all about traits and relative athletic score. And if you read the article, by the way, in The Athletic that talked about how Ruben Hippolyte became a fourth round pick, relative athletic score plays a part. Ryan Pace loves it to the point where I think people need to ask him every time, do you love him or do you just love his relative athletic score? Do you like him or do you like the idea of him? Do you miss him or do you miss the idea of him? You feel me? It's that ingrained in this staff. So that's where I say there are too many times where they've leaned on that over the years and it didn't turn out well. I have to also then ask, was it a double failure because of front office choice and coaching staff? Because I think this coaching staff kind of does the opposite. They're going to find out ways to make these players fit.
I think the ultimate part of this, though, is that Ryan Poles was, as far as I could tell, right about Ozzie Tripillo, because I saw him play left tackle against one of the most feared fronts in all of football and hold his own. So I think it was just a matter of development. It's going to take some time and maybe more time than they thought it would take if you go back to training camp and what you saw as far as the three-man weave between Braxton Jones and Karanamagaji. You could start naming names, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of guys that were out there. And then Theo Benedet is like this fourth dark horse comes in and takes a spot from those three guys. It's amazing. It's remarkable. But I think Ryan Poles was right. So I'll give is due on this Monday at least.
If Tripillo plays again this week against the Eagles and there's not a lot of issues, like, then are we talking about this year?
Yeah.
Like between Benedet and Trapillo in terms of a competition? Could Benedet take a seat, or are we getting carried away?
The lack of pre-snap talk, that what we've talked about every single week about the pre-snap penalties.
Benedet's made a lot of mistakes. Yeah,
I think that in and of itself puts him right there in the running. I would not be shocked if that happened, and I wouldn't be like disappointed. I'd be like, all right, if that's the dude that's not making mistakes, let him go out there and play.
Well, and it would be ideal. And I remember when we were all having the debate on who should start at left tackle at the beginning of the year, one of the things was, how can you look at Braxton Jones, a former fifth rounder who slid right in his rookie year and became a starter? A lot of people assumed, hey, man, if you could do that, then Trapillo, no doubt about it, he's going to be a starter. So,
but they didn't. It didn't work well.
It didn't.
And you're right. And every time we talked about Braxton Jones, it was with the qualifier for fifth-round pick. And I don't like doing it because I like him as a person. I think he's really great to talk to. I see why they want to work with him. You know, that's the hard part, too. Such an agreeable person.
Braxton?
Like, yes.
Oh, yeah. One of the most agreeable guys in the
locker
room.
Yes, and you totally understand why people want to give him a shot. And, of course, it's not the personality contest on the field. This is not the National Personality League. You know, I used to say when Eberflus was coach, it's not the National Talking League. But when it comes to getting the opportunities, you know, I think every front office wants to say, we discovered this guy. You know, they want to have that diamond in the rough that they think they've unearthed. But sometimes you just have to go with the obvious people, too, and the obvious needs, and that will help you. Like, nobody's ever complaining about the front offices that don't do that and just get the guys they want, because they got the guys they wanted.
That's the goal, right? Just get the guys you want by any means necessary. Go out, and that I thought they took a big step. I thought they took a big step this past offseason, because they went out and they made a trade and got a guy they wanted out of Kansas City, and he has become the rock of that offensive line. They went out and got the guy from Atlanta on both sides of the ball. And I think this going forward is going to be their path to success. Just go get who you need, get the best players available, mold them into what you need them to be, and then you can worry about who plays where later. But get talent in-house. I think this is as talented a roster that they've had in-house. Mind you, they're still, for the most part, unhealthy in a long time. Mark, when was the last time they had a roster this talented?
2018.
I think that's the last time I trusted a defensive coordinator as much as I do,
Defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Fangio.
Like,
coming at you next week, by
the
way.
I mean, somebody could be walking down the street, and Vic Fangio would find a way to make that person a linebacker.
Oh, yeah, man. He's a badass. Yeah, we'll be talking about him a lot this week.
4 days.
Yeah, because he's...
Short week.
He's running that Eagles defense.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson is the only one who thinks that having the extra day is the advantage, because he's so used to coaching for Thanksgiving.
I thought that was a great point, which I didn't even think about when he said it. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. You get an extra day compared to what you're used to at this time of year.
But your entire staff doesn't. Like, your staff wasn't all from the Lions. That's what makes it funny, too. But give Ben Johnson an extra day, and I like what could happen. Our segment brought to you by Plumbers 911.
Did you
plumbing
just pick
emergency?
The Bears?
Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM. 911. This is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And next, it is time for America's favorite segment. And by America, I mean the three of us in this room. Inside the Locker Room, the premier football locker room show on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. You see what I did there?
I do.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Foot. the premier
locker room
show in Chicago.
Inside the
locker room.
You know it. You may know shows by other names that kind of sound like this. Maybe they have the same music. Maybe they're on different days. And maybe they have the words inside the. But I'm pretty sure we're the only ones who remixed it like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Inside the Clubhouse. It's not Hit and Run. It's not Inside the Hit and Run. It's Inside the Locker Room here on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And Mark Grody gets to take us inside the Bears locker room where he gets to chat with some of the Bears. We love to talk about it either when you're in the locker room at Hallis Hall or when you get to go to Soldier Field. So take us inside.
Thank
you. Raheem Harris and Grody.
There we are, high atop Soldier Field in the press box. The clock hits zeros, writing a bunch of notes. We all move to the big elevator in the hallway. We all pack on the elevator and we go down to the basement of Soldier Field. We walk to the locker room. We all check in, face IDs,
I'm
the
tired.
Whole thing. I want to give the full description of how this happens for reporters. It's a lot. You know what I'm saying? We wait in line. We all get ID'd. We get into the locker room. I march up to Jaquan Brisker, who made the play at the end of the game, deflects Kyle Rudolph to essentially end the game, more like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And there was Jaquan Brisker to break down that sick play at the end.
So I seen the lineman slide to my right, and I just knew I wouldn't be able to make it to the quarterback. So as soon as he let it go, you know, I just got it up, got my hand up, tipped the ball, game over.
What's the feeling once you know you got a hand up?
Yeah, I mean, it was great, you know, sealing the deal, you know, finishing the game out, especially against Pittsburgh, you know, where I'm from. So it was nice.
You were feeling a little extra juice out there because the Pittsburgh factor, you see those towels out there, the whole thing?
I mean, a little juice because it's Pittsburgh, but I feel like the towels was kind of like, it was. I mean, they travel well. I was surprised by that, but it was okay. Didn't hurt them too much.
You've had some frustrating moments team-wise being on this team, and you've expressed that, the losing. How good does it feel to be sitting here, standing here, talking about an 8-3 yeah, team?
It feels great. We're on a three-game winning streak. We're sitting at 8-3. I've never been 8-3 here, so it's amazing. And we're not done yet. And to be honest, we haven't even played a complete game, offense, defense, and special team. So I got so much things to work on.
Best is yet to come?
Yeah, for sure.
It's my favorite part at the end, like, because he's right, like, because we're always dancing around it. The Bears have not had a lot of games this year where you're like, oh, dominant victory, and he just said it. Like, they have not had a game this year where they could look at it and just be completely satisfied, yet they're 8-3 and getting better.
I think the best thing about it is Brisker understands that they have not reached their potential.
Yeah.
Because he's been on bad teams for so long.
So long.
He's like, okay, this is winning, but we're still not great. We're not healthy, but we're just finding ways to win. And he knows reinforcements are coming, right?
By the way, can you imagine that guy, Brisker, in the playoffs, man? Like,
crazed
it's,
man.
It's going to be
man.
On with Brisker.
Yeah, I think also because of how the secondary has been well distributed when it comes to who gets to come up on a blitz look, who gets to be the guy with the matchup, say like Nashawn Wright, for example, almost by default because Tyreek Stevenson went down, you're seeing who's going to be the one trusted to travel with the team's best receiver. You're seeing all these matchups take place where I feel like everybody has a chance where they feel like they can eat.
Which is nice. Everybody should eat. Guess who was eaten yesterday? That would be DJ Moore. Don't call him by his real name. DJ Moore, 5 catches for 64 yards, had 2 TDs, had a moment. DJ had a moment in the third quarter, called for taunting, which just really felt like a bad moment at the time.
I don't when they said that it was the ball got thrown at the defender, I feel like he tossed it and he looked at him, but I did not think that was actual taunting.
We'll get to that because he catches the 25-yarder after that made it 24-21 Bears, which was like the ultimate redemption one can have. And Layla, just for you, I started with the taunting with DJ Moore, mostly because I usually get funny answers or interesting answers out of DJ Moore when I ask like the hard questions to him. Here's DJ.
So are you admitting taunting? Did you taunt?
I plead a fifth.
But you got him back, right, with the touchdown?
Yeah, it was all set up for that. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I had
right.
to back it up some.
And you chucked that thing into the upper deck?
No, that was Nah. That was the first one was the upper deck. The second one, I just was like, okay. Oh, if I already got one, I might as well just go for two.
There's been some frustration for you this season. How good did this one get?
Huh? Who's been frustrated?
Just what? Maybe not producing as much as maybe I've been frustrated. Maybe not as much production.
It felt good. I mean, it's always feel good to touch the box. So, and especially twice, it felt amazing.
Matt Zahn almost took on a what? He almost joined a very select club that right now only contains myself and Dan Weider. That was great.
Were you guys together when you got the what?
No, I don't think. Oh man,
you might have been.
We might have been. Yeah. No, I think there were separate occasions. I don't think Weider was in when I got my what. I don't think Weider was part of that. The other one, though, was with the assembled media in the media room.
So whether you're pleased or you're frustrated, you're going to get some type of answer.
Or gratified. Gratification does not work with DJ. What?
Yeah, I just don't. There are certain people who, you know, it may come off that to them is like you're putting words in their mouth or like trying to ascribe a feeling to them. So that's why I think like DJ probably came back and said what he said then. Not this interview. That's a separate
one. Of course, what I've learned about DJ Moore is, and I've done this too, the same thing that Matt was doing, because we always assume with DJ that if he's not getting the ball as much or if he's not putting up like early in the season when Rome's getting all the targets, right? We're all like, oh, but DJ must be unhappy. And I've posed that to him before. Like, I don't remember exactly how I worded it, but like, you're not getting yours. And I really believe he is one of those guys who, of course, he wants his. Of course, he wants a 1,000-yard season. He's almost pleading with us, like, yo, I don't care. I remember when he got, I would say, snubbed for a Pro Bowl. And what he was saying was, hey, guys, maybe I need to be the loud, you know, receiver out here, like, doing dances. And, like, he literally said stuff like that. So it's just not in him to be like that, as much as we project that on him.
Well, and also, if anybody ever questioned his desire to help the team, how many times do you find yourself game in and game out saying, wow, what a good block that was by DJ Moore? For me, that's been crucial this year. Like, if he doesn't block the way he does, I don't know that they move the ball as well as they have.
I have a question for you guys. Do you feel like we're done with the DJ Moore in the backfield portion of the program?
No.
Because he had zero carries this week. He had one carry last week. He had zero carries 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Wait, did he have one carry last week?
One for 3 yards.
That was the 3 yard on third. That was third a third down. And three, a little toss to DJ Moore. So to me, that says, of course, no, you still see stuff like that from Ben Johnson to DJ Moore.
Well, and we saw Luther Burden do it instead during the game.
He had like a 15-yard run, yeah.
So that was a reverse.
He's just changing it up a little bit, Marshall.
Yeah, I feel like that is something where I feel like you're always going to have the question of, oh, why didn't this person get this in a Ben Johnson game? Because there are so many different people who get featured game in and game out.
No, I'm just saying there's been a number of snaps where he was in the backfield. That number has gone down dramatically.
It has, but if you ask the question, are we done with that? The answer to me is no.
Done with it as him being like part feature, of the featured like rotational
he's not gonna get,
back.
He's not going to get. I'll say this: he's probably not going to have games anymore where he's get 5 to 6 carries, maybe 2 to 3, something
well,
like
the
that.
The most he's gotten is 3 all year.
Especially as the because when that was happening, that was when the run game was non-existent, and now it's promising, I think, is the best way to describe what the Bears' run game has been. All right.
Huh?
We're going to... What? We're going to hear from Amen right now, but do I understand that we have a definitive pronunciation?
I think a pronunciation that backs up what Layla and Marshall were saying in our first hour.
Oh, so no. No. They told me long O. I said Aug. So
okay. Yeah. Well, this is... So Tim Sinclair, back in August, the PA announcer for the Bulls, who does a lot of work around this city.
And Illini football.
And Illini football. There's a lot of work saying players' names around this city.
Yeah.
Back in August during training camp.
He's got to get it right.
On his TikTok account, he broke down how to pronounce Amen's name properly.
First name's easy, Amen, as opposed to Amen. It's Amen. The last name is really pronounced just how it's written, except you got to know where to put the right emphasis. So it's Ogbong Bamiga. Yeah, it's a mouthful, a lot of letters in there, but as long as you get the right emphasis on the correct syllable, you'll be good to go. It's Amen Ogbong Bamiga.
Amen Ogbong Bamiga.
Has there ever been a more useful TikTok for us than Tim Sinclair?
That is a thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Love you.
You could say he's insurance for name pronunciation.
Love you. Love your work. That said, let's take you back into the locker room for Amen Ogbong Bamiga. I will say, I have to admit, I did was not part of this particular scrum, so I get like you got to choose your own adventure sometimes in the locker room. So, Robbie Triano, the pressure is on you, sir, to deliver me something good.
This one meant a lot. You know, going into the week, you know, I didn't get many reps. I'm not, you know, as a competitor, that bothered me, you know, because I know what I'm capable of. Sometimes you just got to believe in yourself. Just keep believing in yourself. That's what I did. I stayed locked in. And, you know, just gave it my all. Always staying prepared. You know, I know how the game goes. Anything can happen. And I prepared like I was a starter this week. But again, I didn't get no reps. So it's just a blessing. You know, shout out to everyone that stuck by me and the rehab process.
I love that. My God. I mean, this first time I'm hearing that, I love it because I love it when I learn how much players care. And that just that shows it all right there from Amen.
The bounce back from adversity is something that we chart in sports, no matter what the sport, no matter what the level, really. And to get to the highest level where we know NFL stands for not for long, and to understand what these players go through with this level of competition just within their own squad to get to the front line where he ended up on Sunday, I think that's what I appreciate about the way he's talking about it there.
We just don't think about those people on a team enough. The guys who... They're maybe the ones who would be considered the capable backup if they didn't, or the next man up on the depth chart, you know, the second in line, if they weren't the ones who had had an injury. And to be set back so long and to be on injured reserve so long and to not know why your body's not maybe responding on the pace that it should, to be able to get the opportunity and then be able to come away with the combined amount, as we said, of 29 tackles, he's in double-digit tackles. That's incredible for that unit. You know, he's second in tackles to DeMarco Jackson. Jackson had 15 and Amon had 14. And to be able to put that together and come away with a close win too, where the defense can say, you know, we kept our team in the game. What a feeling that must be for him.
That he was able to prove that he can do it at this level. I think that's to your point, Layla. There's all these guys. Like, I'll give you a couple other guys on the roster who I talk to every once in a while that we don't bring up that much, but Elijah Hicks, he's kind of like that. And he's got like they appreciate every minute that they're in that locker room, that they're on the field. Josh Blackwell is another one like that. Like, good guys that are just grinding and seemingly trying to and successfully doing this, proving that they belong, right? I mean, that's anybody that's on special teams or that is a backup player in the NFL. So when they get a chance to shine like this, I loved hearing that emotion. That was terrific. Good job, Robbie.
Shout out to Nick McLeod, who played 57 of the 72 snaps as well once Stevenson went down. I mean, listen, they gave up maybe more than they wanted to defensively, but guys played and they stepped up in roles to help secure a win.
And how about when McLeod has the 27-yard PI penalty? There's Montez Sweat to pick him up, because that is the sequence on which you get the strip sack fumble, and it's all good. Like, the complimentary football was going down yesterday at Soldier Field.
Yeah, a phrase uttered by a previous coaching staff but executed by the players with the current one.
Yes, yes.
Which kind of goes back to our statements from the previous segment. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. For all the talk we've had about a lot of Bears stepping up, what about the ones who were healthy? And, oh, I don't know, how about the guy under center who had to make some big-time adjustments from half number one to half number two? Caleb Williams. We check in on his performance against the Steelers next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We're talking to play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field.
Come on, Marshall. Nah. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show. Middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Here's Williams. In the pocket. Williams trying to get out of the pocket. He won't. Loses the ball. And the Steelers jump on top of it. It's a touchdown. And it's T.J. Trying to do there. Either tuck the ball away or throw it. One or the other.
Yeah, that wasn't great. The instance where Caleb Williams was backed up into his own end zone trying to throw the ball away, and not only did that not happen, but a shake and bake for the Pittsburgh defense. T.J. Watt and Nate Herbig were able to take him down. So that's what happened. Resulted in a Steelers touchdown in the Bears winning the game, though, 31-28. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we examined Caleb Williams' performance, 19 of 35 for 239 yards, three touchdowns. Now, it's only ruled as one sack, and that's kind of what I found interesting. The one from T.J. Watt was outright. So I, for whatever reason, it seems like the NFL has ruled that that was a fumble return for a touchdown, not an official sack. And that's what I was kind of scrolling through here trying to see. Maybe I'm the only one who cares about this.
Wait, say it again.
The Watt family should care about it.
You're saying it's not ruled a sack, what'd you say?
Yeah, because like there was only he only got one sack in the game according to the box scores.
Yeah, but that was in the end zone, right?
No, there was sack. Another one. There was the T.J. Watt sack earlier where that's when T.J. got the record over J.J. and that was discussed.
No, I thought that was in the end zone.
It was
in the end zone. I'm not crazy. It was in the end zone. There was only one sack, and that's what it was.
Because if you looked at the game log, it was said differently in like two different versions of the game.
Trust me,
I thought would have zero
one
sacks.
Sack. No, yeah. There was one sack. It did count as a sack. That's why I got confused. Which it's definitely a sack. Anytime you you cause a fumble from the quarterback in the pocket, it's a sack.
Right. I didn't.
It's just called a strip sack. It's a type of sack.
Right.
No, that I agree with.
Okay.
But it's just like you know how sometimes when you're scoring at home or they log it. Like for example. There will be X amount of sacks in the game, but then the team is only credited, the individuals are only credited with a certain amount, so that might not add up to the team sack.
There was only one sack in the of Caleb Williams in the game, period.
But regardless of how you score it, not only was it not good, it was probably one of the worst plays I've seen him make in his career so far.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. You could throw some of maybe the early interceptions into that, where it's just like a really bad ball, like you shouldn't have thrown that, and it was way too easy for the... It almost looks like the defender is a receiver, one of the Neil O'Donnell in the Super Bowl type interceptions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so no, I thought that was a bad play. But the way he bounced back is what I loved about what he did in this game. This man was under 50% in the first half of the game at 10 for 21. And the way he came back in the second half... To go 9 for 14 and to put up, you know, more drives and another touchdown to come back. I thought the game was over once they went down 14-7. I'm going to be very honest. Mm. At that point, I was like, I don't know how the Bears are going to stop what the Steelers are doing on offense. And it's something that's become so familiar. It's like, if they're not going to take the shots down the field, are the Bears going to have chances to take the ball away? Both these defenses are similar in that they both love to take the ball away. And at that point, with the strip sack and the touch, like an immediate touchdown, not a drive that leads to a touchdown. No, it's a touchdown. I was like, ah, yeah, this is a bad day for the Bears.
That's how it was. It was like watching something where you were like, oh, no, safety. Oh, no, even worse than a safety.
Oh, yeah, it elevated quickly. I was like, this is not the time, Caleb, to not be Houdini, to not be Dua Lipa. You need to do your thing. Of all the times for him to not know what he was doing, because he has been so competent in that area of being elusive and getting away and making decisions. And I get it. The pressure's different. When your foot's on that line, man, it does feel different. So hopefully that is one of those learning moments for Caleb Williams. Gotta go. Gotta go. Must make a decision in the crunch right there. And he did not.
Well, and credit to the Steelers for hiring somebody to practice with their practice squad.
Yes.
And the players who knew how to use that spin move. Because if you notice on that sack, TJ had his arm pinned. And you've got to think that that's because they practiced for this during the week. Like, that's game preparation, because he tried to spin out of it, and then we saw what happened. That did not work. Do not pass go. And that's when I was like, oh, God, a safety. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Touchdown. What?
And boom goes the dynamite.
Oh, my God.
John Reese Plumlee is no Caleb Williams, though. That's the guy that they hired to be the stand-in, if you will.
But if you can practice it enough to where you can teach your body as a defender to be able to counter it, that's what matters. And I feel like that's what happened in that case.
He manhandled Caleb.
And let's go back to even what happened prior to that. This was, I feel like, a sequence of unfortunate events. Because you had back-to-back offensive holding penalties. There was one on the kickoff return. And then there was Darnell Wright. So then you're at first and 20. And then Chase throws the ball out of bounds. And then we see what happened with the being backed up into the end zone. Brutal.
So I'll go through my other notes on the bad Caleb stuff. You know, obviously, the strip sack. He had some overthrows in the second quarter. Overthrow to Odunze, which could have been picked off. He had an overthrow to Burden in the second quarter, which could have been picked off. And then the delay of game sucked in the fourth quarter. I mean, you got to, again, got to go, got to get a playoff. I know they got 11 back when they went to Colson Loveland, but that ultimately ended up in a punt. The good... obviously, the touchdown throw the touchdown throw to DJ Moore with the 24-yarder was sick. Like, all the velocity, all the zip, all the accuracy, terrific on that. Colson Loveland as well. And then I mentioned it earlier. I mean, he was the engineer of another long Bears drive, 11 plays, 70 yards, with the Loveland TD ending it, and featuring a 22-yard throw to Rome Odunze along the way. So that's the good and the bad, the way I saw it, or just a little sketch of it.
I thought overall it was a positive performance for Caleb Williams. Number one, they got the win. Number two, three touchdowns. And the fact that I feel like he has a better command of like what's supposed to go on as far as standard operating procedure. Now it's just that fine line of executing. And too often we watch him make a throw and we're like, ah, it was right there. And he sails it.
Yeah.
Or it's just a little bit behind the receiver. And, you know, the receivers, good on them. They've caught some of these balls that were not put in the window where you catch it and go off with it. But they're able to bring it in. But I would just like to see him be a tad more accurate, or just consistently accurate.
Yeah, he said in postgame, Caleb Williams said, you know, I missed on some routes and some throws that I normally hit. And we're trying to figure out if you actually normally hit them.
I think that's the question, right, Mark? We're watching him, and when he's describing, like, I normally hit those, it's like, do you normally hit them? It's like your completion percentage for the season tells me otherwise. I know it's up from last year, but it leaves a lot to be desired.
Well, I mean, look, the conversation in back-to-back weeks with color commentators starting with Troy Aikman was even to the point where you're completing passes, but you're not putting the ball in the right place and allowing your receivers to make plays. So that's a work-in-progress thing, and it's funny because it goes back to our conversation about how much effort you're going to put into developing a player right now versus it's winning time.
Yeah, and this is a work in progress, and I feel like at least in the second half, there were some adjustments made that worked to that effect and that we saw. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harris and Grody, it is time for Five on It, and we have a programming note to pass along, by the way. Tonight, the Bulls are in New Orleans to take on the Pelicans. Marshall loves this game.
I do not love this game. We'll discuss why tomorrow.
Pre-game coverage starts at 6:45. Tip-off is at 7 on the Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Heli Forklifts. Our five questions that we want to ask with you next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.